You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 182. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy who still moans and groans in pleasure when he has a first sip of coffee, John Brownstone.
What can I say?
It's a coffee-gasm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must be a good cup of coffee is all I'm saying.
It is.
I think it's a better than needed. Sex with me.
They run neck and neck.
Wait. No. I'm supposed to always win that argument. Sex with me and then coffee. And then anything else you want after that, I don't care.
Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you. This week, we're talking about those moments in a DS relationship when one of you acquiesces to your partner's desire for something that you don't typically enjoy or want to do. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. Reviews are quick and easy, and they really, really, really do help. They help bump us up in the algorithm in podcast apps. Algorithm. Say it a few times. So yes, if you enjoy any episode and you have like, it's a 5-star thing, you don't have to type anything. Just a quick rating will help. We appreciate it. You can follow the show on Twitter at Loving BDSM, on FetLife at Loving BDSM PC, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate, Loving DS and the number one, and to all the kindly people who keep trying to tell me how I can fix it. I know. I can't have what I want, though, and that is why I hate this handle. Or you can subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can actually watch us live stream this podcast recording every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. A big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We see you, we love you, we thank you. You're helping us do this thing that we do and support our work and our coffee habit. And in your honor, I'm taking a sip of coffee right now. That was made possible by kinky patrons. Thank you so much. If you'd like access to more content from us, a special podcast, a special live Q&A, special stuff just for kinky patrons, and to help us do more of this thing that we do, you can become one of our kinky patrons for as little as $1 per month. Head over to patreon.com/KaylaLords. It's patreon.com/KaylaLords. Or use the link in the show notes. No, you cannot search us on Patreon. They don't let adult accounts come up and search. I know. Patreon.com/KaylaLords.
Okay. On with the show.
Okay. So we do have announcements. Okay. First, this episode is sponsored by The Cage Again.
Cool.
BDSM Kiki Community Online. Woo. So as far as I know, the deal is still on from a couple weeks ago. You can join for free at any time. It's thecage.co. Mm-hmm. But if you use the code LOVINGBDSM, you get 2 weeks of their premium membership for free. No credit card, no requirement, no like them tricking you into paying later like some of those sites do. No. You get easy access. No need to give all like a credit card or whatever. And the thing I like about The Cage is that you can kind of explore the site before you sign up, so you can decide if you think it's the right community for you, okay? That's the thing with all of these online communities. There are several out there in the world beyond FetLife. FetLife is still the biggest. FetLife is still the place we're all gonna send you for certain kinds of things. But The Cage is as open as it can be so that you can decide if this is the place for you. And we kind of are getting to know the people who run it and own it, and they're really cool people who really care about the kink community. They were on top of customer service issues for anybody who used the code LOVINGBDSM or came to them from us, so that's always cool. So if you're looking for an online community that you feel comfortable in and you feel safe in, go check out The Cage, thecage.co. If it looks like your jam, then go ahead and register. You can register for free if you do a free basic membership. No problem, but if you want to try the premium, which gives you a little bit of extra stuff, then use the code LOVINGBDSM for 2 weeks free. Okay, they are our sponsor. Thank you, The Cage. Also, they contributed to our coffee addiction. This is on them. Okay. Sorry, y'all. I'm in a whatever. Okay.
Do you need to be supervised?
Very much so. podcast listeners, you can't see, but we have new shirts, and mine says... In my defense, I was left unsupervised, and that is true. Mm-hmm. Okay, next announcement, Podcast Award nomination still going on, podcastawards.com. Podcast listeners, the link will be in the show notes. YouTube watchers, the link is down below. We are in the society and culture category, but you can also nominate us in the People's Choice. Your nomination is what lets us kind of move on to actually being judged for somebody mm-hmm. to decide if they think we're any good, which who knows what episode they'll listen to, and OMG, OMG, I feel so sorry for them. So there's that. And then I do want to give you a heads up. The full official announcement is not coming till August, but August is our podcast anniversary. It'll be 4 years of podcasting. Holy freaking hell.
4 years.
4 years.
Time flies when you're having fun.
4 years. So we are doing a giveaway like we do every year. Mm-hmm. And I've already confirmed that one of the prizes will be a toy from Hot Octopus, who we love, who we think are great. Woo! So that's coming. One of the other toys will be something from John Brownstone's Kinky Fuckery Shop, shop.killlords.com if you want to go look at that stuff. And then I have a request out to another company we like, and hopefully they get back to me, and hopefully they say yes. So
there you go.
The first episode of August is when we will make the big announcements, and you'll be able to enter to win, and blah, blah, blah. So that is coming. We are doing that. That is a thing that is happening. Woo! And that giveaway will be open for the entire month of August, and there will be multiple ways to enter. So yes, that is happening.
There you go.
Okay. Okay. I think that's plenty of freaking announcements.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So this episode, I feel like I'm not explaining it very well. Like it's a little convoluted, but let me lay out what happened. It was a good thing. It was a wonderful thing that brought this to mind. And that was, over the weekend, we did a nice full-on, before the kids were home.
Mm-hmm.
So it must have been actually like Friday.
Thursday or Friday.
Right. So right before the kids came home, we did a full-on kinky scene in the bedroom. It was lovely.
Last hurrah.
John Brownstone wore his new utility kilt.
Mm.
Oh my God. If you follow us on Instagram, you would have seen it. Mm-hmm. I don't put a lot of pictures on Twitter. Twitter is kind of weird.
I put one on Twitter.
You put one on. Yeah. So if you're on Twitter, you can see John Brownstone. Anyway, John Brownstone in a kilt is fucking fierce. It is amazing. The first time I saw it, I wasn't wearing panties, so they couldn't melt off. The second time, I was wearing panties, and they did melt off. They were just gone. They were just gone. There were no more panties because I was ready. It was delicious. So he's in his new kink fetish gear, which involves his kilt, and I'm so happy about that.
Yeah.
And we were going to do several things. We were going to do new things. Mm-hmm. So this was not the kind of scene where we relax into the moment and just let, like for me, that means I get to let all my senses take over and I don't have to think and I exist. This is a very participatory kind of scene because doing brand new stuff, which was cool. I had no problem with that. So the first activity in the scene was the single tail whip.
Yes.
Which was his first time hitting a human being, my first time being hit with it. And anybody who has known us for a while knows I don't like stinging pain. It's not my jam.
No.
Whips have a high sting capacity. I knew that. I said, okay, anyway.
And that was kind of funny because, you know, normally it's me that goes to you, I'd like to try this. And it didn't happen that way.
Mm-hmm.
You actually came to me and said, do you feel ready to do this? I would like you to I know you need the practice, and and I'm willing to be your practice person.
Yeah, and because you've been practicing on inanimate objects, which is the right way. And normally with impact play stuff, you practice on yourself, but a whip is not something you can practice on yourself. So I felt like it was important. It was something you were really excited about. I mean, you'd gotten a private lesson from a kinkster friend.
Yes.
To learn more. You were walking around this damn house just cracking whips. At one point while I was trying to work, and my work, when I'm writing, I require silence and concentration, and he was cracking a fucking whip, y'all.
Yeah.
I was like, are you kidding me? Thank God I love you. Thank God I love you. So that was part of it. I knew I would not like the pain, but it was also kind of exciting. Like, that was part of it for me. It was like, we haven't done this before, and wouldn't this... And I was in a really good headspace, and I was really relaxed, and I was like, yeah, we should totally try this. And that is how a lot of new experiences with kink can go. You don't... You kind of have to be ready for it. You kind of have to be geared up for it. And even though you think, ooh, this might be a sensation I might not like, you don't really know until you try.
That's true.
So I was not doing something I wouldn't want to do when I said, hey, let's do this. I was open to a new experience, which is very rare for me. Y'all know, I'm an anxious person. That's rare. But I was open to it. So we were doing it.
Right.
And it was within the first time that the thing touched my body that I went, oh, this is not the pain I like. No, this is not the pain I like. The difference, though, is I had a choice. I always had a choice. I was well aware. Yeah. I could say for it at any point. He would have stopped immediately. All play would have stopped. But this was one of those times where there were two things going on.
Mm-hmm.
One, I wanted you to have this experience. This was important to you.
True.
And I had to make a decision. Is this tolerable or intolerable? And right until right before we stopped, it was tolerable.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I had to decide was, is there something I am going to get out of this? And I knew immediately there was. One was the ability to say I had done it, to be able to say, oh yeah, I've been whipped. Yes, I have. And two, I could tell very quickly, but from the blinding hot pain that seared through my body, that even though they were temporary, there would be marks. And I like marks on my body. I enjoy
you. You were
that.
Very appreciative of the marks when I showed them to
That's
you.
That's on my
picture.
Instagram, by the way, Kinky Kayla Lords, because those were some serious, like, red marks, welts on my legs. It also helped that you were really new, because if an experienced... What is the term for the person who uses a whip? A whipper? I don't think that's right. And I that doesn't sound very toppy. Not very, very toppy at all. Whatever the term is for a person who uses a whip.
Whip master.
Well, what if you're not, what if you don't want to be called master? Okay, can you be a whip mistress? Okay.
Yeah.
A whip. There's somebody come up with a better term.
Whip top.
Sounds like some cool whip shit. Sorry.
Oh, boy. Almost lost my coffee
We've
on that
gone
one.
Off the rails.
Yeah.
So, anywho. The good thing was he was unpracticed at this, because not every flingy thing you did with that whip, you know, these technical terms here, made contact.
No, I was act because I knew, like I say, I was very surprised that you even agreed to that. And... when I practice, yeah, I go all out. I mean, you saw that by what happened to the canvas bag I was practicing on.
My book bag that I take to the library has a hole in it. Yeah.
Yeah, a nice little triangle hole.
Glad you practiced on an inanimate object.
Exactly. And I deliberately held back. Okay. Which was why I was missing. I was going...
Sure,
very
and that's not a criticism of you that you
were
missing.
No, I know.
It was actually very helpful, because what I learned in this activity and the second one was that had he been right on the mark in the first 5 minutes, we'd have been done in 5 minutes, because it became intolerable over time, because it was just a sharp, sharp pain I'm not used to. And one I don't particularly enjoy. It doesn't mean there's not room for a whip in our play.
True.
And that was the thing. This kind of scene was a lot of give and take. He would hit me or come close to me or do something, and I would then ask, do you need me to push back a little bit? Do you need me to move to the left? Like, this was a give and take kind of scene. And we've talked about those before in past episodes. But it was one of those times where the thing I was getting from it was not the thing I usually get from a scene or from impact play or from any of my favorite kinks. And yet I was consenting to do it anyway. And I think more of us can find ourselves in those positions than we realize. The second one was when I was all about doing, and I was like, yes, finally. It was wax play. It was wax play, y'all. We finally were playing with wax. I was excited until I learned how bad a cheap candle can feel on your skin. And it was the kind of pain that makes you want to cry for your mommy until you make the bad person stop. It was not the experience that I kind of hoped for, because I knew it would be hot. Y'all, I get a Brazilian every month. I am scheduled to go get, as of the day of recording, to go get one tomorrow. I know what having hot wax on your body feels like, and I allow it to be applied to my vulva and clit and don't flinch. This had me going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. We did figure out through some trial and error, it was mostly because they were kind of crappy.
Yeah.
And they're wax play candles, but they're cheaply made. They're not the good stuff.
Yeah, they were given to us.
Yeah, and it was...
Yeah.
So we're kind of avoiding those, and we found another set that we had in storage that are better quality, and those do right. feel better. But it was one of those moments where I was excited to do the thing, so I had enthusiastically consented. And then I realized, whoa, this is not what I signed up for. What do I want to do? How do I want to handle this? And thankfully, like I said, we started the scene. I was in a really good headspace, so I was able to think through it. I didn't panic over the sensation that I wasn't expecting, and I didn't freak out, and I didn't feel bad, and my anxiousness did not rise to the surface, thank God.
No, it didn't. No.
I was able to be kind of cool-headed and clear about what was happening and to say, okay, first of all, this is not a sensation you're used to. Second of all, we knew these weren't good quality candles. We just really wanted to try this.
Yeah.
And third, some things you do have to learn how to tolerate. So I was able to do some self-talk of saying, okay, here's what the reality is and how do I want to handle it? And it really is an internal dialogue you're having back and forth with yourself. It was another one of those situations where I had to be very interactive with this. There was no just sinking into the bed and letting hot wax be dripped all over my skin. He would get like three drips in and I'd go, whoo, you have to give me a second pause for a beat. And then I'd breathe through it. And then I'd have to give the signal of, okay, go ahead, go ahead. And we had to do a back and forth like that until we got to the point where I finally had to say, no, I can't go on any further. Had we not done that back and forth, that's another one that would have ended in 5 minutes because that was an intolerable sensation.
And I think on my end too, because these were new things that you had never tried before, especially with the whip, I think I was very hyper-vigilant of your body language and what you were doing and how you were reacting. So I was, you know, very aware of that throughout the time. So I could tell just by the way your body would tense or your body would move, you know.
Yeah, I had a hand thing going.
Mostly
on the wax play. One hand would go out in front of me and then all my fingers, my palm would flex. Like I was trying to say stop or push something away. There's nothing in front of me, but my hand was pushing against some unseen force.
Yes.
And that was sort of the signal of, okay, I've hit my tolerance level. Let me breathe for a minute and then we can start again.
Right.
So the reason this even brought up this kind of weird topic we're talking about is that there is rightly a lot of emphasis put on not just informed consent, which is always important, but enthusiastic consent, that you should only be doing the things that you really want to be doing. And 99% of the time, that is absolutely true. But I think in longer term relationships where, they don't even have to be the loving, married, living with each other and having sex kind of relationships, just long term DS relationships where you have built up a lot of trust, a lot of goodwill, a lot of understanding of your partner, fairly good communication skills. I mean, they don't have to be perfect, but you gotta have some.
Right.
I think those are the times when a partner could feel more comfortable doing something that in another situation they would never do. I'm not saying that one of you should ever, you know, give up a hard limit or say do something that goes against a hard limit just because your partner is curious about it or wants to do it. I think that those are more for the soft limits, those things that you're not sure about, but you're at least willing to try, but they're kind of, you're on the fence about them. But I think that it is a common thing in DS. And I think it's probably more common with submissives in healthy and unhealthy ways because so many of us are primed to want to please our partner, which means we will put ourselves into positions we might not normally do for anybody else because we want to make a person happy. I think there's the unhealthy toxic side, which is when you're doing things that go against everything you are and everything you want, and you get nothing out of it, not even the pleasure of knowing you've served, and you do it anyway because a partner has manipulated you or bullied you or made you think that that's what submission is. And that is a very unhealthy aspect to it. And I think that is what most of us in the kink community are trying to guard against when we give the very good and the very right advice of only do things that you really like, stay within your limits. You know, if you're not getting something out of it, don't do it. And that really is, for the majority, accurate. But I do think there's a subtle nuance that happens. It's an undercurrent in long-term relationships or in trusting relationships. They don't have to be long-term, but if you both trust each other a great deal, then you can play with different layers of what you do for each other or with each other. So I hate the cane. I fucking hate him. We sell him. I celebrate every time he makes one and we sell one, but I fucking hate him. Hate them. And yet, I know, and I consent to, in an impact play scene, that is the exclamation point on the sentence. That is how almost every time he will finish me off.
Yeah.
With searing, blinding pain that makes me do a full-throated scream and makes me question why I ever let him come near me with anything. And some people...
It's a beautiful sight.
It does help that he's a sadist and I'm a masochist. And so what I love is not the pain or the sensation that I'm feeling. It's the fact that he did that to me and I had that sort of visceral moment. But in the moment, I'm not thinking of love. Okay, I'm not thinking about, oh, this is a great, intense moment. No, I'm thinking, oh my fucking God, that hurts. Get that away from me. Why am I putting myself through it? I don't exactly have any answers on this. I don't think it's not going to be right for everybody. It's not right if you're new. If you are new to each other or you're a brand new kinkster, be very careful if you get somebody who tries to talk you into or pressure you into doing things you're really not interested in doing. And quite frankly, these things, like the single tail whip, I said something to you, and I think that's important.
Yeah.
If you are willing to try or experience something that you know is probably not your thing, it's really not going to be enjoyable to you in a way that you would normally have, I think it does have to be up to you to say something, because that way, hopefully, it's a decision you've made completely on your own and uncoerced.
Yeah.
You know, if your partner's coercing you to do it, then that's not informed and enthusiastic consent. Okay, that is a toxic thing that is a massive red flag. But if you're looking at a thing like, you know, I'll see you doing something that I'm like could care less about. And yet I'll go, yeah, we can try that. Or I get in the middle of it and I'm like, this is unbearable, ungodly pain. Why am I doing it? But I will make the decision with no outside pressure, nothing from him, knowing full well, trusting and believing full well that if I called it off, we're fine.
Because see, where it comes to the wax play, we had actually discussed that quite in depth for some time.
True.
Before we ever tried it. It was something that has been in our radar. I had talked with several people who were proficient in wax play to get some ideas of how to go about it. And it was something you agreed to. Now, when it came to the single tail, in all honesty, if you had not come to me, I probably never would have asked you.
Yeah, yeah. I think I got that sense. I really think I got that sense of, if I don't say something, it's not happening.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I didn't have a burning desire to do it. I wasn't sitting there going, ooh, please, this will be great. I was a little bit, you know, petrified of it, quite frankly, because I was like, that's going to fucking hurt. That's going to hurt so bad. That's going to hurt so bad. And, you know, here's what's funny about that. In the moment, it hurts so bad. It's still, the memories hurt so bad. But when I look back on it, because there's always a haze when you look back on something through a memory, right? And it's the memory at this point of recording is not even a week old yet. I feel a sense of pride that I did it. I'm still gleeful over the marks that were left. They were temporary. They were gone by the next day because you didn't hit me that hard.
Right.
Thank God if you had hit me any harder.
But they were impressive marks.
They were impressive marks. Yeah. And I was also proud of myself because I endured something. And that's not for everybody. you know, some people do not want a sense that they had to, I don't want to say survive something, but that they like had to go through a hard thing in something that's supposed to be pleasurable. And that's okay. You don't have to. Normally, I don't either. Normally, this baby girl wants everything to feel good. I want it to be joyous. I want to giggle. I want it to just feel fucking good.
You
want to
lay on the bed and meditate while I flog you.
Yes. Yes. That's the least expensive massage I could ever get. And I sleep like a fucking baby after it. But I don't play with the whole push me to the over the edge of my limits to the point where I have to stay for it. That's not an exciting way to play to me. Mm-hmm. But it was sort of, I'm proud of myself looking back and going, I like took it. I maybe not the way other people would take it. Maybe not for as long as other people. I don't care. I'm not comparing myself to other people.
You know what?
I fucking took it.
All things considered, for the person you are, I was very proud of you.
Bingo.
All right. You did exceedingly well.
And see, there's that little judgy part in my head that's like, maybe you should have tried another 5 minutes. But I'm being very honest with myself and going, no. Five more minutes and I would have hated it and you could never come back at me with that thing again.
And you were at the point, you were dancing. You were doing that
It's what you like. That's your favorite. That's one of your favorite parts.
Yes.
We won't say it's the favorite part. We don't do things like that often where I do something I really don't like because I know either I want to say that I've had the experience or I know that you're going to enjoy it. But I think that it does happen in relationships all the time. I mean, there are times where little things, y'all. Okay, so let's dispel a myth that a dominant is so in control that whatever they want is what happens. There are nights where he's Big D. He's Daddy 24/7. He could decide, tonight we're watching Netflix and that's what we're doing tonight. But what he does is he asks me and I'll say, oh, I really needed to do this. Or, oh, I kind of wanted to do that. And not every time, because he is the decider. But there are times when I know what he really wanted to do was binge something on Netflix. And he's like, okay, it's fine. I'll read my book. I'll find something else to do. And it's a small thing. It's something that happens in relationships of every flavor. All the time. He gives up something he wanted to do because I needed something different. So we're all in healthy relationships. We're doing it at different points. In unhealthy relationships, we're probably doing it all the time. And so if you like are looking back through your memory bank of a relationship and it's all the time that you're acquiescing to what the other person wants, that's probably not healthy, even if you are submissive, because we are supposed to get things we want out of our relationships. Vanilla, kinky, doesn't matter. There's supposed to be something in it for us. I know there are submissives who say, what fulfills me is knowing that I have served my dominant, and that's all I want. Their pleasure is my pleasure. I believe in that as long as your dominant has the same philosophy. Mm-hmm. If your pleasure is their pleasure, then it is much easier for you. And I say this from my own perspective as a submissive who has this life.
Yeah.
I can say he can pick, he can decide. It's fine. His pleasure is my pleasure because I know from experience and trust and communication that he's going to make sure I get what I want too.
Right.
So it's always a good experience for both sides.
And, you know, I think a good example of this would be to say, you know, the other night when we did push those boundaries together, afterwards, I was a little more attentive with the aftercare.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I mean, it wasn't a case of, oh, well, I got what I wanted. Thanks so much. And
thanks for all the fish.
Thanks for all the fish.
Yeah.
And went on my way. You know, no, I was a lot more attentive than normal with the aftercare. We lay in bed. I held you. I cuddled you. I stroked your hair. And we talked.
You fucked my brains out too, right?
Well, yeah.
Just making sure. I was like, wait, am I remembering the same
night? That did happen too.
Okay,
yeah.
there was fucking. Yeah.
But, you know, I made sure to take that.
Right.
Especially in this.
And that does help too, because that means I walk away from the entire scenario with all my memories. My memories of that scene, the negatives, air quotes around negatives, are the sensations I don't usually enjoy, that I did not like. But it's it's got that nice glossy haze to it of a pleasant encounter because mm-hmm. I chose to do that, even though it wasn't what I necessarily wanted or would like. And that's where the consent is so important. And then it was an exchange of not just energy, which all of our scenes are, but it was an exchange. We were communicating the whole time, verbally and right. non-verbally. We were talking to one another, actually more like equals than anything. It was more of a top-bottom situation because I was having to give feedback. This was not a, Daddy, what do you want? This was a, here's what you need to know about what mm-hmm. just happened. So there was that kind of give and take. And so it has that nice positive bubble around it as a memory, even though I can pinpoint all those moments where I was like, oh, that did not feel good. I did not like that. No, that's not my jam. But, and I don't think even 2 or 3 years ago, we could have had something like that.
No.
Because I didn't even have, I'm still learning new communication skills. I'm still getting better at verbalizing my needs. Mm-hmm. And 2 or 3 years ago, I either would have gritted my teeth and endured silently, or I would not have felt comfortable enough to be able to go, even though I know I could, and I know in mm-hmm. retrospect I could, to say, okay, can we slow down? Like, put the hand up and go, whew, I need a breather. Because in my mind at the time, if I asked for a breather, that meant I was sort of saying, I don't want this, this isn't working. Whereas this time it was a back and forth give and take kind of thing. Right. It was a full blown experience. And so I think that's another reason why this can work. If you know that your partner is taking care of you and they are seeing to your needs that you might not even realize you have, and so that you walk away with a mostly pleasant feeling about what you did or what you experienced or what you gave up or what you didn't mm-hmm. do, then it's easy to temporarily and occasionally subvert your own needs for your partner's needs. It's when it becomes all the time. It's when it becomes you can't even sit and think about the last time you got something you wanted, or you were the one that got to, I don't want to say win because it's not a competition, but there are times there, in some decisions in any relationship, there's a winner and there's a loser. Somebody didn't get what they wanted, right? And if mm-hmm. your memories are of nothing but never getting what you want and your partner always winning in that situation, that's a problem. But I don't think, for submissives, you get to get what you want, okay? You should be getting what you want. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what you want is to please your partner and give them something that you wouldn't necessarily enjoy on your own and you wouldn't ask for normally. But it's a gift you're giving. It is. And dominants have the same ability. The good dominants do. They see to their partners. They get what they want out of the situation, but they're seeing to their partner's needs and desires. And sometimes the desire is to be fucking tortured until you're crying mm-hmm. on the floor. That's not my kink, but you do you, okay? I am supportive of anybody who likes that kind of thing. As long as you've got the partner who in one moment can give you that kind of like hardcore kinky fuckery mm-hmm. and in the next moment can, gracefully go, sure, we'll have cake for dinner. What is the conflict sounds like argument, and I don't mean conflict, but that back and forth of I want to do this, oh, but I want to do this. Okay, how do we meet in the middle, and who's giving up a little bit of what they want?
I think what that comes down to at that point, there is a definite responsibility by the dominant mm-hmm. because you're coming to me and saying, I give you permission to whip me. I want you to do this. Mm-hmm. All right. And as someone who has never been whipped before, as someone who has never had hot wax dripped on them before, all right, I am not going to bathe you in hot wax first time out of the gate.
You do it one time.
I am. Yeah. Yes, there are some bottoms who want to be whipped to the point that they are,
bloody.
They have blood. The broken skin. I am not going to do that to you first time out of the gate. It is small steps. Mm-hmm. Okay. It is my responsibility to know what my limits are going forward with this. All right. Now, I will say I did have my fun a few times. I stepped back far enough with the whip so that I knew it wouldn't hurt you, and I did crack it full on.
Yeah, I jumped.
Yeah, you did. I jumped. And that made my inner Sadist smile.
Well, I think that's the thing. That shows the subtleties of play. You know, not everybody plays with impact, and not everybody plays with painful sensation. We all are dealing in some level of sensation, but not everybody's into pain, and that's okay. We are not going to say everybody is or should be. But it just goes to show that you can, with a little bit of creative thinking, get what you need, especially as a dominant or top, and never actually lay a fucking finger on the other person. You mm-hmm. can do really subtle things that give right. you the reactions you want. Now, in the YouTube live chat, a couple things have been said that mm-hmm. is the toxic side of this.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we do have to guard against. So I'm not advocating everybody should go out and, you know, every submissive should just say, do what you will with me, even though I hate it. But there are doms and toms yeah. who truly believe, and I don't know what fucking planet they're on, they do believe that the submissive is there for their needs alone, and what the submissive wants or needs doesn't matter. That's, okay, they get to call themselves a dominant, because you can call yourself anything you want, but that is mm-hmm. abusive.
Yeah.
Because the relationship is a give and take. If the submissive understands, is informed, risk aware, and enthusiastically consents to a moment in time, a scene where that's how the scene goes, it might not be my thing, but I'm gonna go, okay, do you understand, like, what does this person know your limits? Okay, but if that's every interaction, if that's how a dom views you, that means they don't view you as an equal of sorts. Two sides of the same coin. We did that episode ages ago, mm-hmm. and I still was like finding it hard to find the language. But essentially, doms, subs, tops, bottoms, you are two sides of the same coin. You each have something to contribute and give equally to get right. what you want. There is a power imbalance, of course, that is negotiated.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you come together to form a whole, like not a necessarily a long-term relationship whole, but a whole unit of something, and both sides need to get what they want.
Right.
And when you're dealing with a top or a bottom who does not respect that, fuck them, okay? Yeah. And the horse they rode in on, there's my rant. And I got hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
I have another sip of coffee.
And I had something I was going to say, but, oh, yeah, okay. You blew me out of the water there.
Sorry.
That's all right. I think what it comes down to is the reason you were able to come to me and ask me to do that is because over the time of our relationship, from before we ever even had a relationship, okay, I proved to you and continue to prove that I earned your trust.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And to me, that is way too important to break for a moment of satisfaction during a scene.
Right. That you only get that one time and then you don't get again.
Yeah.
Break the trust. You don't get to fucking play
exactly.
that way again. Or
exactly.
you only get to play that way for a very short amount of time. And then hopefully that person whose trust has been violated figures out what the hell's going mm-hmm. on and gets the fuck away. Like, that is always the hope. And yeah. and I think that's the thing. I can subvert my desires and my wants and my needs temporarily because I trust you. I know that if I give up something I'd like, whether it's free time of, and we have had, there have been pouty moments, there have been arguments about going to bed and I want to do something. And yeah. That's definitely a DS power exchange mm-hmm, kind of moment.
Yeah.
But it is easy-ish, put some air quotes around easy there. It is simple. It's not easy. It is simple at this point to say, I will do something that is not my thing to do and I don't really want to do it necessarily and I don't really care to do it. But I know it. I will do it for John Brownstone because I know I have countless examples from over the past how many years we've been together now? Countless examples of the times he's done that for me, of the times he has taken care of me, of the times he has made sure I got exactly what I wanted. And we've had many a conversation where I was like, but Daddy, you didn't get anything out of this. Mm-hmm. What's right? What can we do? And you're like, it's fine. I had a good time. I didn't have to get something. You are one of the first men I have ever known, maybe the only man, well, not the only man I know now, but at the time when we first started fucking, that I had ever known, the first man I ever fucked, there we go, that's how I'll describe you, who could say to me, no, I didn't orgasm, but I had a good time. I don't have to fuck to orgasm. We're done because we're done, not because I got off. Like, that was mind blown, revolutionary. Like, I thought I had somehow failed at, air quotes around that too for podcast listeners, failed at sex because the man hadn't come. Like, that's that. There's a whole other conversation in there about how we've been socialized as a culture to think that sex is about a man's penis in a vagina and the man's orgasm is the important part. Like, that's a whole, I could do a whole episode on that and still not be smart enough to talk about it. I have to get some other people to do that. But to be told by this dominant man who's like, oh yeah, I'm in control, I'm in charge, he's like, I wanted to fuck you and we fucked. Did you get what you needed? Oh yeah, at that point, many, many orgasms. And I'm feeling good and I'm all like mushy on the bed and life is good. And you're like, I didn't need to come to have a good time. Like, I'm done fucking. I'd like to be done fucking now. And since it is a very high impact activity for you, good cardio there. Yeah. I was okay with that too, but my needs. I got, I don't know how many orgasms I got in those moments. And the kind of pleasure that you were experiencing was not was more than I had thought that pleasure for you could be. Like, it blew my mind, y'all. I can't even form words about it if you can't tell. So there, you know, I've got all of those memories now. I've got all of those experiences where I know that John Brownstone has the willpower, the self-control, the discipline, the care, the respect to at times go, to take the step back and go, I'm going to give up something I want, or I'm going to do something I'm not really all that excited about because it makes my baby girl happy. And so by having those experiences, is it easier for me to go, this is not what I'd really like to do, but who would make him happy? And I do want to make him happy. And that's how I know I'm still consenting in an enthusiastic way. I know what I'm consenting to. I understand exactly what's going to happen, and I'm happy to do something that makes him happy. And it is a thing that has to be used cautiously. And it is about trust. And we have lately gotten a lot of questions from listeners. Either their partner broke their trust or they're in a new relationship and they're trying to develop trust. And the question people want to know is, when will we trust each other? And there's no time frame for that. And it is an ongoing thing. I trust him more today than I trusted him 2 or 3 years ago. And I would have told you 2 or 3 years ago, I trusted him implicitly. Like, there was no question about how much I trusted him. But now I'm realizing several years on that I can let him do things to me that I don't really care for and don't really want and can still enthusiastically consent to them because he's earned that trust. It's not the thing you do on day one. You don't subvert your entire will for this person who has not earned any amount of trust. You go in as the co-equals that you are, and you go, this is the thing I'm willing to do, and this is the thing I'm not willing to do, and we're going to stay in those parameters, or we're not playing.
It's not like the thing where you meet a dom online, and you're chatting for a week, and you meet and go to a hotel room and play.
And people do that.
And people do that.
Oh, but just be very careful when you do that. And if you do that, it needs to be very strictly negotiated. There need to be very clear boundaries. You both need to understand what the other means when they say things like impact or I'm going to hit you. Well, hit me with what and how hard and where on my body and how many times. Like, it, until you've developed a solid, solid, solid level of trust, everything has to be very clear. It has to be very, you don't imply shit. You state it clearly. I don't care if that doesn't seem sexy to the BDSM fantasy in somebody's mind.
Yeah.
This is how you stay safe and still get what you want. And as a relationship, and again, this can be a play partner situation. This doesn't have to be a we live together and got married kind of situation. But as a relationship between dom and sub grows, and you play together, and you spend time together, and you talk to one another, and you learn about each other, and you grow comfortable with each other, and you experience moments where you don't agree, or moments that are less than pleasant, and you navigate those situations, then you can develop the trust that lets you take things a little bit further, do things that don't follow the quote rules of BDSM, which there are no rules other than communication and consent, But there are best practices. And that's when you can loosen up, though, with how you play. And it doesn't have to always be in really strict parameters, because you've developed that relationship with another human being where you have some level of confidence of who they're going to be and how they're going to handle it and what they're going to do and what they're not going to do.
Right. I mean, I have noticed even in a top and bottom relationship where they're not technically in a one-on-one relationship with each other that they've just seen, the top takes the time to get to know the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, because how there has to be some kind of a connection in order for everybody to get what they want out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
All right.
I agree. Somebody in the comments on YouTube mentioned that if you're not careful when you're communicating your needs very clearly, you can get a reputation from topping from the bottom.
Mm.
And as that person pointed out, if the community of people you play amongst thinks you're topping from the bottom, nobody's going to play with you. I'm going to be kind of a, I don't want to say I'm going to be a bitch about this, but this is probably going to come across a little not empathetic, and not to the person that it's happening to the wider community. Cause I know if people don't want to play with you, that's very isolating. And that makes you, it's like being back in high school and the mean girls over there and it's awful. But here's the thing. I'm not that interested in being around people who can hear a rumor about me, decide that's who I am, never to find out for themselves. You're not the person I'd want to play with anyway, because the person I would trust to beat my fucking ass will come have a conversation with me and ask some questions and decide for themselves. If we're talking about groupthink, maybe that's why I don't do well with groups, and that's why I just I'm a hermit at home,
but
because
see,
I don't
in my mind, there is a huge difference in asking for what you want,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to topping from the bottom.
And right? And we did an article ages ago about topping from the bottom.
You can come to me and say, Daddy, I need my butt spanked.
Yes.
Okay? And that's all you say, which then tells me, okay, she wants to get spanked. Right?
It's pretty clear.
Yeah, pretty clear to me. Now, that is very different than if you were to come to me and say, Daddy, I want to be flogged. And I want you to start out with the deer hide flogger. And I want 10 strokes on each cheek. And then I want you to switch to the gentle giant. And then maybe one or two strokes from the devil. And then back to the deer hide flogger.
Then I would be a bottom, not a submissive. Which is why I think topping from the bottom is kind of problematic. Because if you're a top and bottom, a top and bottom is not dominance and submission. It is not.
No.
Okay. DS is a power exchange within some sort of relationship. Romantic, platonic, like it can be any kind of relationship you want.
Mm-hmm.
Top and bottom is a negotiation between people who are literally truly two equals. There can be a power imbalance because you can negotiate that too. But ultimately the top is doing what they enjoy doing, dishing out this sensation, using the flogger, tying you up, like whatever the thing is. And the bottom is getting what they like, which is to be on the receiving end of that.
Correct.
And so this is, and I'm not speaking from experience here. I'm speaking from having conversations with plenty of tops and bottoms. The way it's been sort of described to me is that it should be expected that the bottom has a very clear idea of what they'd like to receive. Now, that's even should be more clear when this is a new partner that you've never played with before. If they've never touched you before, you get to be as clear, like, please be crystal freaking clear.
Absolutely.
But even in DS, in a scene, as a submissive, it is my responsibility to give feedback. If he smacks my face and hits my ear accidentally, I better fucking say something, because if he doesn't aim properly the next time, he could do it a second time, and now I have some inner ear weird thing going on.
Right.
So if you're a bottom in a top-bottom situation, and you are giving feedback to this top, that's not topping from the fucking bottom. That's keeping you safe. That's keeping them safe.
Yeah.
That's making sure everybody gets what they wanted. And when somebody cannot handle, not criticism, just feedback, just, ooh, you caught me at this part of my body. Ooh, that wrapped here. Is that, you know, those things, that's a layer of protection that if you were the type of bottom or submissive who has found that kind of ability to do that, and it's a learned skill because it took me a long time to learn it too. That's great. You are actually helping that top out. And if that top goes, you're fucking topping from the bottom. Ooh, don't play with that one again.
Mm-hmm.
I went on another rant. I didn't mean to. I don't even know if it's about the topic that we started with.
It's kind of tied in.
Yeah. Okay. Didn't mean to go on a rant. And I think it's very complicated. I don't think there is
a hard and fast rule
for any of this. I think that if you, as a bottom or a submissive, never want to do something that you don't enjoy doing, that's valid.
Mm-hmm.
I think as a bottom or submissive, if you find yourself always doing things that your partner wants that you don't necessarily enjoy, it might be time to rethink, not if you're doing something wrong. I'm not saying you're doing something wrong, but just give your the whole relationship you have with that person a lot of thought and make sure you can easily, clearly, and quickly pinpoint all the ways you are getting what you need.
Yeah.
Because if your needs aren't being met and you're going through these motions of doing something that another person wants you to do and none of your needs are met, that is a very unhealthy situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the other person might not be doing it on purpose, but that's still kind of selfish if they get every single one of their needs met and never once stop to go, huh, is my partner getting their needs met?
Yeah.
Like this is, it's a give and take. It's a back and forth. It is not the dominant is up on high staring down and just deciding the rest of your life. Then you can have moments of that, sure, if that's your thing. You can have entire scenes where that's what the scene
mm-hmm.
is. But in general, over the whole picture of your relationship with this other human being, both of you have needs that need to get met. And in
Absolutely.
Some way where you feel satisfied and comfortable with this relationship. And if you are a bundle of nerves walking around worried about the next thing that might happen or or resentful, then we've talked about that before. When your needs aren't met, that is what happens. It's resentment. And if yeah. you're resentful towards your partner or towards, you know, That's a sign that it's gone too far the other way.
Right.
But, you know, if, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to sum it up because it is sort of a subtle kind of thing. It's all about trust. It's all about communication. I don't think it's for the new people new to DS or for mm-hmm. new relationships. I think feeling comfortable in a safe way of doing things that are not your thing to do because they make your partner happy, I think that comes with time most of the time. I think that comes with experience with that person and knowing how they will handle it and knowing that, you know, you're going to be taken care of in whatever way you need to be taken care of. And so then it continues to be a give and take back and forth exchange between two people
mm-hmm.
who are just two sides of the same coin. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are other things I can say about that, but I would be rambling more than usual, so I'm going to leave it there. And Jennifer in the comments on YouTube for the live stream said something that I would imagine, I could imagine for myself. Being told you're topping from the bottom is like a slap in the face. And it absolutely is, especially... There are moments where you could be topping from the bottom. I think it's about attitude. It's about not you personally, Jennifer. I mean, in general, the general you. It could be. You know, it's about attitude. It's about what you're trying to get. It's, mm-hmm. you know, yes. In any relationship between two people, maybe not a one-off play scene. I'm sure that's a little bit more difficult. But certainly between two people who are in some kind of relationship, some kind of ongoing DS thing, that's a moment for conversation. Not a blanket accusation that you're topping from the bottom and then walk away. Like, that's not cool. Because if you know that what you're doing is keeping yourself safe and providing feedback and making sure the scene is good for you, so, you know, like it's good for them,
mm-hmm.
then yeah, that would be a slap in the face. That would be a kick in the gut and that would piss me off for sure. I mean, it would hurt. Of course it would hurt.
I think any good dominant or top, especially when you're in the negotiation part of a scene with somebody, I think it's a very important question to ask. What do you want out of this?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. I think that should be something that should be asked.
And I'm a little leery of a dominant or top who can't take feedback from a bottom or submissive.
Mm-hmm.
If I can't tell you, did you mean to hit me there? Like that landed wrong, or hey, this is a little too much, or whatever it might be, because it can be whatever. I'm going to have serious trust issues with a person who can't take feedback, because that's either ego and arrogance, which I'm not a big fan of. I don't know if y'all can tell. Or that's a lot of insecurity being masked as ego and arrogance. And that's not a safe partner to play with, quite frankly. But that doesn't mean that being told that you've taught from the bottom, or that you're somehow doing a thing wrong because you spoke up for yourself, doesn't hurt. I can absolutely imagine how badly that would hurt. And, you know, the problem is it's easy for me to go, fuck them, they suck, right? Like, it's easy for me over here to say that. But when that's your community and you're in those situations, I know it's not easy.
No.
That doesn't mean that we should stop giving feedback. That doesn't mean we shouldn't advocate for ourselves in those scenes. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't continue to use and learn the skills to speak up for ourselves as submissives. Right. There are times the only one who's going to protect your ass will be you, okay? If you are playing with a new partner, if you happen to have a shitty partner, and they don't respect that kind of stuff, and they're not actually there to help look after your well-being too, you are the only one who's going to be there to advocate for you. And it is a skill to learn. It's one of those reasons why you probably wouldn't catch... There's many reasons, but there's a lot of reasons you would not catch me doing one-off playtime with people I don't know. Because, I got trust issues out the ass, first of all. And second of all, I might, because of some of my anxieties, I might not be able to speak up. But with John Brownstone, I can, because I know I'm safe to do so. So, yeah, it's, with all things, it's a journey. There's a lot to learn.
So, question for you.
Oh, goodness.
To kind of bring this full circle. Now, I know we have plans to do wax play again.
Yes.
And we've even been doing some things to make it better.
Yes. And researching products that we want to.
And researching products to get to try and hopefully make it even more better. But in regards to the whip.
Yes.
After this initial experience, would you be willing to tread there again?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I kind of talked about it. I don't know if you remember it. I had said when we were done with the whip, I was still kind of lucid. And I said, okay, first of all, in a scene, that's an accent piece. It's not.
Yes.
Paddles it's not. And floggers can be the main event in our impact play. The cane has to be the exclamation point at the end of the sentence. And the whip, for me, in a full-blown scene, could be... brought out, put down, back and forth, back and forth. Once or twice here kind of thing, right? I have been thinking about, would I do the whip scene, just the whip, kind of practicing and playing with it like we did the other day?
Yeah.
Yes, but I'd have to be in the right frame of mind.
True.
So, that's part of my introspective nature, to kind of try and know myself well enough. If I am anxious, if the anxiety is bubbling under the surface, all my brain will focus on is how bad it hurt last time. If I'm relatively relaxed and I'm feeling good, and maybe I know it's part of a whole thing we're doing, or maybe I'm just in the right headspace, then I can be nervous about the sensation I will feel, because I will remember it, but I'll be more in tune with the nice, good, warm, fuzzy memories I have.
Gotcha.
So all right. I would say, and as all of you can be our witness to, I don't have a problem if you ask me if I'm up for playing with it. You don't have to wait for me to come bring it up.
Well,
to
this point now, no, I would. Right. But, you know, like I say, initially I would have never asked you, because I know how you feel about those things.
Right. And, you know, and it's funny, there's a part of me that is really happy that you know me so well that you would go, I'm not even going to ask her. And yet there's a part of me that's like, oh my God, am I such an anxious mess? He can't even ask me? Because you should be able to at least ask, hey, I've got this thing. How do you feel about playing with it?
Well, it would be like, I know how you feel about knives and blood play. Okay, right. So I would never come to you and say, oh, I've been thinking about this scene that I want to do with knives. And
Yeah, you had to construct an entire wooden knife just so you didn't have to have a blade near me for wax to get the wax off of me for wax play. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you for going to those extraordinary lengths to circumvent my hard limits and fears. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, you never know. A wooden knife may be a gateway eventually to...
No. Yeah. No. 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 Nope. So I don't know if we imparted knowledge or we just
rambled
for an hour, but I think it's maybe just something else to think about.
True.
If it helps somebody who's been in a relationship where they're not feeling fulfilled, and yet they know they are constantly giving of themselves, maybe it'll help you think about things and see if there's something missing. If you have not explored certain types of play, not because they're absolute hard limits that you would never try. I'm not saying you should. You do not have to cross your own boundaries for this. But, you know, it's something to consider if you feel comfortable enough with your partner to talk about it, and you have developed the communication skills where in those moments you are ready to try to give feedback. That is a skill. That is something that has to, and it, y'all, like anything, you have to practice it. So you have to be willing to be bad before you get good at it. But so hopefully this was helpful and not just an hour of navel gazing. It probably was probably an hour of navel gazing, but that's what we do.
Okay.
We are going to be done with this and go into our bonus section?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have to do our thing?
We have to do our thing.
Okay, we will try to do our thing.
Okay.
Okay.
Are we good?
I don't know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week. Daddy, can I talk to the crickets?
You're just too cute. Yes, go ahead. Talk to the crickets.
The espresso has hit my bloodstream.
Apparently so. Your eyes are like
so I do want to address, I know poor podcast listeners, I'll make sure I say it out loud. So Jennifer, who is a font of knowledge today, thank you, on wax play, says if you use a bit of baby powder on your skin before the play, then use soap and warm water. The wax comes off super easy. Also, soy comes off better than paraffin. So if anybody out there is like, wax play, there you go. You got that tip for free. What we have been using, and I didn't mention it at the top of the episode because we had a sponsor.
Yes.
We found another use for the Butters lube.
Yeah.
And because we don't have baby oil, nor am I going to go buy baby oil. So what we've been putting on my skin is a nice thick slather of lube.
Of the Butters.
Because it's basically like a body butter. I mean, it's a lube, but it's also a body butter. And that's what we've been using. And the wax has been coming off pretty well.
Oh,
it
yeah.
It hasn't bothered me
well,
at
all. When I first tried the candles on myself, I tried them on my forearm and the back of my hand.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first thing I experimented with was, I was like, okay, I wonder if this would work. It's, you know, it's aloe, it's shea butter, it's natural oils.
Right.
Let me try a little bit, and I boop on myself, and then I used, and yeah, it just...
You're a hairy man, so...
Yes.
And you didn't...
Well, no, I tried it on less hairy spots first.
Oh, well, you should experiment with the hair and see what
happens.
I did. Okay.
And it came off just as easy.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, we are not, we have done one blog post in the past on lovingbdsm.net about wax play, and it was all theoretical. It was stuff we knew. It was stuff that I said in that blog post straight up, we have not done this yet, but here's what we've been taught. Here's what we've learned, because we've been information gathering on wax play for literal years now. So the cool thing is that means we're still constantly learning, but we are not ready to talk about it. Because we've only had a couple of experiences with it, but we are slowly. So the kids are back from their grandparents.
Yes.
Which I did not, I was so excited for them to come home, and I did not think that was possible. I was like, wait, what? My mom was like, did you actually miss them? I was like, well, I don't know if you could say I missed them, but when I knew they were coming home, I got excited that they were coming home. So I guess that's like missing them. Like,
I had to take out the trash. I had to empty the dishwasher.
We had to do their chores.
It yeah.
Like, this one's going to be like when they grow up, move out. I don't know. But this factory's closed. So that these are the only kids we got. Is it? Anyway. So I lost my train of thought. I so lost my... Oh, no.
About missing the boys.
So the boys are home. So we're back to no spankings while they're here. No, like, nothing loud because these walls are kind of thin.
Yes.
So we're like, we are in a better place than we were when we first moved here, which is when everything spiraled. And I was like, we got to do something. We need a routine. That is something we both crave is the ritual aspect of a routine. And so I was like, if I don't scream too much, this is one of the reasons we were like, let's try wax play. We could make a short little teeny tiny bit of wax play part of the routine. And it would be a longer going to bed ritual because it's not as quick as a few light taps on the ass, but we could do that. And so we are, if we ritualize it, if we make it part of a routine, then I feel like we'll get a little bit more experience and we'll be in a better place to actually talk about it from an authentic place, not just a theoretical place.
Yeah.
So right now we're still total noobs and we're absolutely still learning. and somebody asked, and I'll put this in the show notes later too for podcast listeners, but the Butters is getthebutters.com, getthebutters.com. And if you use the code Kayla, you save like 5%. It's not a lot, but it's a little bit of savings. Mm. It'll help, like, helps cover, depends on how much you order, but
Butters,
it covers some.
The Butters is all around amazing.
Yeah, I use their, foot lotion he's got. I use the body butter on my legs. I use an acne cream on my face.
Like I use their moisturizer for my beard.
We use their scrubs.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yes. So there's that.
Yep.
Let's see. What was I going to say? There were things. Oh, let me give my shout out to our patrons from patreon.com/KaylaLords. Thank you to all patrons at any dollar level. You help support our coffee habit. Another sip
indeed
from a kinky patron right here. Here we go. Thank you for that.
You're not sleeping tonight, are you?
No, I'm not. Just no blinking. So thank you to Lorana, Kalina, Jay, Conduit of Queerness Itself, and Laura and James.
Laura and James.
Which, y'all, I have to read Laura and James' name every time because my brain wants to say something else and it wants to fuck it up every time. What else? There's stuff, but there's not stuff.
But what's been going on with you?
I've been fucking working. The oldest is 14 instead of 13.
Yeah, I
and
know.
He's at band camp right now. He came home the first day. Okay, y'all. So, first of all, we have, I think, what you would call a typical 21st century teenager. He tries not to see the light of day if he can help it. He loves his screens. He loves his computer. He's got lots of online friends. And probably only a handful that are actual friends, but you know what I mean. Discord is his place. Like, it's just, I look at him and go, wow, I really am old because I can't even imagine. Anyway, so he's not an active kid. My kids are not into sports. Part of that is they were not overly interested as little kids, and I was broke as fuck. So paying for even the YMCA fees and boys, YMCA. We did YMCA 1 year, and that was almost too hard to do. So they never did sports as a little kid. So now they're older and they really don't care. They're like, Mom, I don't want to go outside and I don't want to play sports. And I think, oh, thank God, because I don't care for sports. That one season that the oldest, when he was five, did basketball, like, nearly killed me. Anyway, so for the 14-year-old, he's going into high school. It's his first, he's marching band. It's his first experience with marching band. It's his first experience with band camp. It's his first experience in many years with, like, going out in the heat and working hard. He comes home the first day and he goes, Mom, I'm tired. and to him, I'm like, oh, yeah, I would imagine you would be. And yeah, I'm a band geek from way back, so I'm commiserating and I'm, you know, sharing my experiences. And for once, he's actually listening. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah.
And that night, you know, we told him, you need to go to bed early. You gotta get up early every day. He's like, oh, yeah. And that first night, Monday night, he came up to me and he went, I'm going to bed now. I'm tired. I'm just going to go to bed. And I was like, yes, victory is mine.
Yep.
So
it was a lot different than, what do you mean it's bedtime? Why do I have to go to bed now?
So yeah, that's, I've been doing the band, not the band mom. I'm not going to be a band mom. I have mad respect for band moms. sometimes, but I don't have that personality. So, but I am doing the drop off and pick up every day, the running. And I'm like, oh, that's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. These children go back to school and this is what this is like. But yeah, so I'm mostly just working. I was very cranky mm-hmm. because I really want this to be an evening live stream. And a couple reasons. One, this is so much fun to do. Yeah, I hope y'all like get that vibe through the microphone and or the camera. But it takes a lot of energy. So when we're done, I just want to sit on the couch and not move. So an evening live stream, it's perfect because it meant that once we kind of picked everything up, we could sit on the couch and not move. Now, we're going to finish this. We're going to record another video. If you are a YouTube subscriber, you probably noticed we've been slacking on extra videos lately. Sorry. It's been my fault. And then I'm going to go back to whatever the hell I was doing. It's like, I'm going to be so tired.
Yeah.
But we do have better stream health, and it seems to all be working better again. And so then that means it's worth it.
Well, I tinkered around with the stream resolution a little bit. And, you know, let's see how things go. Let's see how things go. And, you know, myself, Ben and Jennifer were both saying, you know, yeah, it is hot. It's
hot as balls.
It's like walking on the sun out here some days.
But, you know, the thing is, the whole, like, freaking planet practically, well, the Northern Hemisphere, is having a heat wave. Like, mm-hmm. our poor UK friends are practically melting.
Oh, my God.
And they don't have AC, you know, a few buildings, businesses might. Most homes don't have ACs, but I know that up north, like, you know, up above my head where I'm waving, mm-hmm. for podcast listeners who can't see, not everybody up north always has an AC either, right? Or is that, like, older, is that a myth? Like the northern states, like the way northern states, they don't, do they not normally have AC either? I mean, I know businesses would.
Well, businesses do. I know, remember as a kid, a few houses had AC up north. Many places in New York City do not.
Even now?
Because
I know New York City gets major heat waves too.
Yeah, they do. What they do is they break out the window rattlers.
Oh, God. And when I was a kid in Florida, we did not have central AC in our little tin can crappy place we lived in. And I remember I was like 12 the year I finally, maybe I was 10. Either way, relatively young. I finally got the window unit AC for my room. Mm-hmm. And the only thing it cooled was my room. Like it might waft down the hallway a little bit. The cool air, I mean, that was loud as fuck. Now, that was in the late 80s, early 90s when I got mine. But, let's see. Oh, Eva asked, what does somebody do at band camp all day? In the first half of the day, when it's slightly cooler, they march. Mm-hmm. They march in straight lines. I think they might be finally going out to the field to do formations and the actual show. And in the afternoon, they play their musical instruments. And so the 14-year-old who talks as much, if not more than his mother, yes, that's possible, by the way, his mouth is like, it just hurts. He gets home from band camp. He's like, my mouth hurts. I know. He's a trumpet player. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's what they do. And I remember. And, yeah, you march in the morning because it's of the two halves of the day. It's the coolest time. And you march in the rain. It was raining this morning. I'll bet money they were still out there marching.
Yeah.
Maybe no instruments in their hands, but they were still marching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hardcore. It might not be the same as athletics, but I always felt like I worked just as hard as in any other sport-related thing. Let's see. Good to know. Other places have AC in northern states. Like, y'all, I have traveled to a couple of places above the Mason-Dixon line. I have gone to California before I've even gone to Oregon. But I wasn't paying any attention, and I stayed in hotels. So
I think today heat pumps have made that more common.
True. But I know in the UK, central AC is not a thing, and they're in a massive heat wave. Like they're having Florida-like temperatures.
They are.
Now, they're not. I don't know if they're having the humidity that we... that we get.
That I don't
know.
I don't know.
But yeah, it's hot as balls. It just is. We stay inside the cave we've made of our house. It's dark in every room. We have blackout curtains. We have big shades. We have just keep the sun out.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Well, and other than that, me, I've just been working myself.
Even making pens.
I have been making pens. I feel like I'm behind the gun a little bit because of our move.
Oh, sure.
You know, I would have had a stock built up already for the fall, and I'm kind of doing that. And yeah, with the heat, I go out. I've been hitting the shop about 7 o'clock in the morning.
You have been going out early. Yeah. Apparently this band camp thing has been working for all of us, because I've been starting work earlier, too.
And yeah, I've been getting out there 7, and you know, yeah, I have a big pedestal fan out there, and I turn that on when I walk outside.
And you face it to you.
Face it right on me wherever I happen to be working at the moment. And yeah, just let that thing go while I'm working. But then by 10, 11 o'clock, I'm pretty much wrapping it up.
And in the summer, that's what it's like. You don't get to have longer days until we get some good fall weather. At least until the humidity dies away.
Yeah.
Because an 85, 90 degree day is warm, but when there's no humidity in the air, it's pleasant.
It's tolerable,
Like, especially if you're in shade. It's like, I can do this all day long.
Yeah. And one day last week, Thursday, I made a road trip.
To Orlando. I know. I had to stay home without you.
Yep.
I worked, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what I did that day? I don't know.
I was having flashbacks of being back in Tampa.
Oh, yeah, with all that traffic.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, okay, so I did the coffee run. Thank you, kinky patrons. Let me take a minute. I did the coffee run before we started live streaming today, recording. And Ocala is called Slow Cala for a reason. Kept getting behind damn people who want to do the speed limit. It's like, y'all, there's open road ahead of you. There are no pedestrians. It's not a red light. There's no stop signs. Why are we doing 35?
And they don't zigzag in and out of traffic either.
Which I love, but also I still am in a faster mode than the people around me.
See, I adapted quickly. I just...
I know. They're... So, anxious people who have had to be the passenger in a car. I think most of you could probably relate to the phantom brake thing when you're anxious about something. Even when you're not an anxious person, the person driving your ass is scary. Okay. I now use a phantom gas pedal. I even kind of push my body forward. Like, maybe if I lean forward in this car, it'll go faster. It does not work, but I try.
No. No, it doesn't work.
Okay, so I could keep rambling on. Yeah, we all know I could keep rambling on.
Oh, of course you can.
But we probably should wrap it up because we do have another video to record, and there are other things.
And I actually need to go back out in the shop this afternoon.
What?
Yeah, I do.
It's the wrong time of day.
I know.
What are you going to do out there?
Stuff.
Typical answer. Okay, we love you guys. Right.
Thank you all for being here.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for letting me ramble until, you know, I just peter out. I guess we're out of words.
For the time being.
Thanks for sitting through the rant that was so energetic. I got sweaty again. And we love you guys, and we will see you next week. Bye.